Hello, listeners. This is Janine.
And Stephanie.
And this is our 17th podcast edition of The Course of Course. Very exciting for that. We just keep rolling on.
We need some sound effects like Jean Bogart has in the podcast.
Jean Bogart and Gary Renard's podcast. But you know what? We're purists, and we're just going to use our own voice and our own energy.
Yay!
So let's talk about our week. I know last week in the podcast, we talked about the book, Busting Loose from the Money Game. Mm. I loved it. I finished reading it and was really kind of blown away by it. I appreciated the similarity between that book and The Course in Miracles. The Busting Loose from the Money Game took a more scientific approach. They were talking about the grid and the hologram and all that kind of stuff. And I'm a big fan of that. I remember, and I don't know where this came from, but I had a friend in high school and we were walking home from high school. And my friend said, "You know what, Janine? You're nothing but a hologram." And then we laughed like a hyenas because it was so ridiculous. But it's so true.
It's like, I wonder where that was coming from.
I know. Now that I look back, maybe we were more advanced than we thought.
Or that they were advanced.
Yeah, I was going to say they were. To me, I was like, ha ha, what does that mean? But hopefully now I understand a little more.
Definitely.
So how were you doing on the Busting Loose from the Money Game book?
Well, I had an interesting experience happen. I've only read those same 4 or 5 chapters, so I haven't gotten much further. But I did give it up to the Holy Spirit to invite many to show up in an unusual way. You know, any way would have been acceptable. But from outside of time and space, like they talk about in the book. They had the Super Bowl, and at work, we had a little grid where you put your name down, and then they randomly took numbers out, so you had no idea where the numbers were going to land. And in the end, I won the grand prize.
You won.
I won $100.
And I can attest to everyone that Stephanie knows nothing about football or the Super Bowl, so this really did come from outside of time and space.
I didn't even know who was playing.
Exactly.
Until they gave me the sheet.
And you know, people who are really into football really don't like people like you, because they're like, oh, come on.
Yeah, I mean, it was so random. I really feel it was a sign from the Holy Spirit that I was able to pull something in at a request. Thank you very much.
I agree. What are you going to do with your $100?
I'm probably going to get a facial.
Good for you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for cleaning up your face. It's always good.
It's a girly thing.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I really liked about Busting Loose from the Money Game was the way the author kind of walked you through how to get there intellectually. He used a lot of quantum mechanics, quantum physics references, which, I'm a huge fan of that anyway. I'm more of an analytical person. And I remember years ago reading quantum mechanics and really getting juiced up by it. So I appreciated that aspect of it. I also liked that without calling it Course in Miracles, without really talking about the spiritual aspect of it, he kind of was giving a second version of kind of like a Course in Miracles framework. So it's always nice to read that from a different perspective.
Yeah, it made sense in a different kind of way.
Exactly.
That made it, I don't know about more real, but being able to bridge to that Course in Miracles possibility, God, Holy Spirit.
And I'm not speaking
Christ
for
mind.
Anyone else. I just know for me, had I not really started embracing the Course in Miracles and understanding it kind of intellectually, I don't know if I could have really grokked the Busting Loose from the Money Game. Other people may, but for me, the Course in Miracles was super important.
I agree.
To get it.
Because it's pretty out there.
But I also appreciate the author, Scheinfeld, right? Who was able to reach the same conclusion that the course does, but put it in a different way where I think more the average person can be like, oh, okay. But with the caveat that it's not exactly the easiest book to understand for me. I mean, I got it because I had some background in it. But I don't know if, let's just say, somebody in my orbit, you know, a friendship outside of work or whatever would really kind of grok it as quickly, I think, as we have been able to.
For me, the landmark training that I've had, which was a lot, paralleled to this because they talk a lot about the human game. And in Landmark, we talk a lot about creating games and creating possibilities. So I could see where some of the same language could transfer over to the Busting Loose from the Money Game.
Let's talk about the game part of it. So my understanding of the game, like the human game, is this isn't real. You know, this is just like a board game. So there's no real meaning here. It's just a matter of moving pieces around the board and not getting too absorbed in it, because it really isn't the thing that is what's bonding us together or getting us to transcend.
Yeah, I think what I got was is that I don't want to play the game anymore. I'm tired. I'm done. I just want to let go.
Agreed.
And remember who I am.
I keep saying every morning, I just want to go back to God. I just want to wake up and go back to God. Because we both know, driving into work every day, and who doesn't have this experience, where they go into work and they put 9 hours, maybe 10 hours into a job they don't necessarily want, so they can get a paycheck, so they can pay for the life that they really want, that they can't experience for more than, I don't know, 2 full days and some evenings. It's just, it's a huge exchange that isn't really profitable or spiritually fulfilling. Because of that, there's clearly something that isn't right. There's a disconnect for me. This doesn't make sense. And I just want to get back to God. I want to wake up, stop this dreaming stuff. It's no fun. I think it's funny when people go through that, oh, this person's going to die and they're going to miss all this stuff. I'm going to miss nothing. I'm going to be like, I'm just going to be back with God. Because the reality is, on some level, I'll miss the people in my life, but they are part of me anyway. I'm taking them with me. So it's not like I'm leaving anything.
We're the one mind. One just mind. Being expressed in different fragments.
Yeah. And you were talking about this, probably a number of podcasts actually, about how we're all unified. We're one mind. When we approach people, it's like we're all together in this. We're not really separate, even though it seems that way because of this dream that we're in, which I was talking to you off mic about how at work, I have to really consciously say, this person is part of me. We are the same person. We are all God. So when they say something to me that I don't necessarily like, I just have to let it go because it doesn't exist anyway. And all that really does is it lights up something in my ego. In Busting Loose from the Money Game, the author talks about how amazing we are as individuals, and that's a quote unquote, because everything in our experience we created. We created everything. And when you think about the detail of the creation in our lives, I work close to an airport, a major airport, LAX. And I remember driving by that and thinking, oh my gosh, I've created planes? I'm amazing. And what the money book is talking about is just to be grateful for the creative ability that we all have, that we discount as though somehow it doesn't matter. And every single hologram is what he's talking about. That's our experience in third dimension, is our own creation and no one else's. It's our own creation. Although we are unified in the sense that we all create our own holograms, because all that is kind of like the physical manifestation of our patterns. But if you get behind the patterns and pull back the big picture of it, we're all the same thing, just projecting on different screens. That's really all it is. And if we want to change our earthly experience, we just need to pop something else into something new into our holograms. We're just living those things out.
From outside of time and space.
From outside of time and space. And when you think about what a hologram is, it's just light. It's just light. And without light shining through it, it doesn't exist. A hologram is simply a pattern of what is being projected. The exact same concept that Gary Renard does so well at explaining in his books with The Course in Miracles, that we're just really looking at a script that's already been filmed and a projector that's just showing it to us. It's the same concept.
It's definitely trippy.
It's very trippy.
To think that, you know, my projection created you, created the cat, created the living room, created the world, whatever. But you have your own projection that created me, created the cat, created the living room. But somehow our projections are together.
It's an amazing tapestry, I think, of all these intentions and creations. I'm always amazed by what this must be like. Like, who is the wizard behind the curtain. But how fascinating all this stuff is. And even more fascinating, it doesn't even exist.
As fascinating as it is, it's just an ego distraction to keep us separated and engaged. Thank you. Engaged.
You're exactly right. And it kind of dovetails into my next concept. We talked off mic about my experiences with a personal relationship I've been having. The reality is relationships, I've come to this realization. And again, listeners, it's just my projection, my opinion, that romantic relationships, wow, this is going to be kind of controversial, I think, in my opinion, are simply ego distractions. That I've come to the point where I don't believe that they are necessary I mean, they're nice, and I'm sure if I had children, I'd be like, what is she talking about?
Yeah.
But for me, they're lovely, just like anything else is lovely in my life. Any other relationships or experiences I've had, but they aren't necessary. I appreciate, and believe me, listeners, I've had a number of these, but I appreciate the fact that I believe I've come to the point where I recognize they are not the most important thing in my life, that they are or have been a distraction for me. And it's been a lovely distraction. And I've appreciated every single one of them because those experiences have made me who I am. But I think recent events have really helped me understand that it's simply not necessary in the Janine existence any longer to keep pursuing them or to possess them or to think that they are the most important thing in my life, because they're not. The most important relationship in my life is to God. It's to the, you know, Holy Spirit is the intermediary, but it is really to God. And that God is within me. So it's not like right. this external man on some throne with the white hair and the beard. So it's really me. So it's like, okay, what makes the most sense to my holy center? And it's no longer this external reflection and deflection of who I am. I'm not saying that you can't have relationships that are holy in any way. I think Gary Renard does a really great job explaining the holy relationship.
They're just rare.
And right. And I have holy relationships in my life, but I think from my experience, my romantic relationships are never and were never close to that. They were much more, not just distractions. I think they were also a way for me to simply not focus on who I was. Because for me, I got so wrapped up in, you know, does this man think I'm attractive, or, you know, am I fulfilling him in certain ways, and how do I keep him, and how do I keep him from not looking at other women, and blah, 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 you know, that whole thing that spins out.
Like the whole beauty thing we have to regimen go
Absolutely. Like, how do I keep myself being attractive so he won't stray? Now when I'm hearing these words and think they're the most ridiculous things I've ever said in my life, but they have been such a huge part of my life for so many years, and to finally come to that realization, like, wait a minute, this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. That's a huge thing for me.
That is big.
I've been on this relationship thing for years, as you know, and to come to this point where it's like, oh, and it wasn't even like a lightning strike in my head saying, oh my God, this is what's happening. It was just such an easy kind of realization. Just go, okay, I don't need this anymore.
Yeah, I like to learn my lessons in a loving way. So if God can show us in an easy, loving, graceful way. That's right. Always welcomed.
Yeah. And it's not like I don't want relationships in my life. I no longer see them now as, you know, the prime directive.
True. Yeah. I mean, getting the course, getting through the workbook and the text and eventually onto the manual and just living the course and understanding it, that's to me the only priority. And if I meet someone along the way, that would be great if they're in the same headspace, but I'm not interested in getting involved with anyone because it takes so much time and energy and thought and effort that it's not on my agenda. I like my freedom.
So listeners, here's a call out to you. We are very much looking forward to meeting gentlemen who may be on the same path.
Internationals.
Because, yeah. To me, that would be like that's the holy grail, the lottery win. Like you meet somebody like Gary and Cindy who met each other and are
at Amoeba Records. Place.
Yeah, at Amoeba Records. You know, it could be anywhere. It could be like at the gas station or the CVS.
Sure. Or I believe Whole it Foods, could happen anywhere.
Anywhere. Definitely. But what a joy.
And I'm
it would
always
be.
Looking because it's programmed in us, I think.
I agree. It does seem like there's some blueprint in our consciousness. We're always looking for that other, that soulmate.
If I take that one class, you know, like they say, if you do things you like boating and sailing and kayaking and gardening and bowling or wine tasting or whatever, cooking class. Oh, we'll meet that guy.
It's just the excitement, like thinking of, oh my gosh, if I can meet some guy who is on the path, who gets the course, that I don't have to, I feel like sometimes I have to defend myself or defend my views on the course of spirituality. It would just be so nice to not have to do that.
I had lunch the other day with a work colleague and I found myself just talking about my experience and what's going on for me. And she's like, yeah, I rode back after the Christmas party in the car with the girl who got the book that you gave her. That was Alex's comic book. she's like, I was kind of flipping through the book and I was wondering, what is this book? And to me, it was an invitation to start talking about my experience, which I did. And I'm like, you know, this might sound a little crackers to you, but this is it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes when I talk to other people about this, when I feel comfortable, and it isn't that often, I hear the words come out of my mouth and I feel like I'm crackers.
Yeah.
Because it just sounds so bizarre to me.
Like, we're all one mind projected out in different...
You're nothing but a hologram.
You have to be into this stuff, I think, to get it.
Yeah, you totally do. Anything else happening in your week?
Well, the garden drama is still kind of unfolding. And as I mentioned, I didn't really want to have a fight. I wanted a peaceful resolution. Today, I happened to meet with another master gardener who was asking me about it. The person that I'm in, I guess, relationship with at the garden space asked me not to talk about it.
Just to remind the listeners, the issue you were having was a fence that may have been too high?
Yes. And possibly crouched a couple of inches over the line into someone else's garden space.
Oh, how dare you.
But I was very clear with her today. I was like, you know what? I am not looking to prep a defense, to have an attack, to prove why. Like, I just don't want to play that game. Like, I'm really done with the game. I'm just constantly turning it over to Holy Spirit. And then out of the blue, out of time and space, she offered me a whole new garden space right next to hers in the middle of the garden, which gets better sunlight, which tomatoes need 10 hours of sunlight, so I could grow better crops. And it just came out of the blue.
Well, look at you.
Yeah.
Applying the course.
And now I have two garden spaces within the same garden, because if one leaves, I'm got the other one. But I feel, part of me feels greedy, but then part of me feels like I don't know what's happening with the first one. It could be ripped out from me at any moment, and that's unsettling. So knowing that I have the second space is good.
So you created this without conflict.
Yes, a peaceful resolution. I got what I wanted.
I think it's amazing that these creations occur without even trying.
I think when we're really diligent about not having an attachment to the outcome or how it's supposed to unfold, but instead giving it up to the Holy Spirit, Jesus, for the highest good, then anything's possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, which is a landmark thing too. Anything is possible. And I was thinking in the Busting Loose book, what does that possibility mean? And I think in the course terms, it would be the Christ mind, that's where all the possibilities can come from.
The course, this is where I get a little tripped up. So the course also talks about everything's already scripted. So when you're saying possibility, it seems like it clashes with that concept.
Well, I think of some of the podcasts I've heard with Gary talking, that I think it has to do with the DVD ending and how we can collapse time and we can actually jump to a different script.
Okay, that's a good point.
So all this, there's all these alternate endings, but if we will it and we're sincere, I guess, you know, like somehow we can skip.
The main thing about the course is talking about forgiveness. So if somehow we can forgive something that's in our, what would I call it, our energy field, our matrix, mm-hmm. That we can collapse that time, and then we have other options available to us from a time perspective. Then we can say, okay, well, since I collapsed this time vector, then it's opening up this new ending in my DVD, in my movie.
Yeah, I had this flash about when I had this dream when I was living in LA doing concerts, that I was going to die driving into the center of the freeway.
Interesting.
And when I crashed in the dream, I went up to a mountain and there was a UFO and they were telling me, no, you can't come on the ship. You can't leave. You have to go back. You still have more work to do. But at that time, I was actually introduced to the course, even though it didn't quite make sense. I was seeing Marianne on a weekly basis.
This is Marianne Williamson.
Yeah, in the late 80s in Hollywood. But at that time, that's when I ended up in Virginia Beach, and I just walked away from rock and roll because I felt like I was going to die if I was going to stay here. I think that might have been a time when I skipped dimensions into a different DVD ending.
Yep.
And that's how I ended up at the ARE with you.
Fascinating.
Meeting you.
Right, because we talked about this in an earlier podcast, but I ended up being there through some weird serendipity, I guess, because I was at the University of Cincinnati in the Classics Library with a good friend of mine, Charlie Hillen, and he had talked about, you know, hey, maybe we should leave here and go someplace else. And I learned all about Edgar Cayce at the time and said, why don't we go to this place? And somehow, I don't know what happened, we ended up in two cars driving from Cincinnati, Ohio to Virginia Beach.
To the Maikai.
To the Maikai condominiums on Atlantic Avenue. And I left with $100 in my pocket. That's all I had. What was I thinking? Like, I was in my right mind.
Yeah.
And I remember us driving at night. We were both exhausted in Virginia and stopping off at a gas station. It's like an AM, PM or something. And I remember vividly being hungry and getting a big red smoky hot dog, which I never eat, ever eat. But I got to say, it was the most tasty meal I ever had. And I was finally getting to Virginia Beach, getting the keys to the condo, going in for the first moment. And Charlie saying to me, well, what do you want to have happen here? And I said, I want to change my life.
Wow.
And I did.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
That's pretty major.
Yeah.
And we were both in our Saturn return, whatever that means.
We were. And I don't know if you have this memory, but to me, it was the most vivid memory of those early days in Virginia Beach. We were in the Maikai condo. You were over and we were sitting on my bed or Charlie's bed because we were both, you know, sharing room. And you said something about I'm hungry. And we ended up eating a Pepperidge Farm chocolate cake, an entire cake. We just split it down the middle, ate it. That will always be like my first memory of you. It's like, wasn't she that girl that you ate that cake with?
Yes. That's so funny because I don't even remember, that.
It, right?
But I do know I like cake.
Right. It was a chocolate 3-layer cake from Pepperidge Farm.
Yum, yum.
Yeah. Not the best quality cake. But
no. Times have changed.
Now that we're rich. We're much richer than we were then. And I also remember the Heritage Bookstore. For those listeners who have been to Virginia Beach, the Heritage Bookstore is a huge one. And they have pretty much everything. So obviously they have books, but they have a lot of lotions and potions. And
yeah, and since I went to the massage school, I was able to get a discount on all their home health product, which I still use some to this day.
Well, the nice thing is some of those you can find at Whole Foods.
Yes. Yeah. I love their rose water.
Right. Rose water's there. Yeah, there's a lot of really nice things. Edgar Casey is really big on, what was that oil? Castor oil packs?
Huge.
Everything is a castor oil pack. No matter what you had, oh, you're having a heart attack, put a castor oil work in your chest.
The arthritis in my knees, mm-hmm. when my knee went out last year, I was doing castor oil packs.
Yeah. And cheesecloth. That was a big thing too.
Well, speaking of Edgar Casey, after I get a couple reading assignments done, I was thinking of reading my books on In Search of God, which are the Edgar Casey, you know, Search for God study group,
right.
just to see now from the point of view of the Course in Miracles, right. what resonates.
And what are similarities? I'm guessing there's quite a few similarities, but coming through kind of like the Edgar Casey system, In Search of God, In Search for God?
In Search of God.
Right. Mm-hmm. Those were our first kind of experience, I think, with those types of study groups.
Yeah, there's a prayer there that I memorize that I say almost every day that has been very impactful in my life.
What is it?
Which is, not my will, but thy will, O Lord, be done in and through me. Let me ever be a channel of blessings. Now, today, to those that I contact in every way, let my coming in and my going out be in accord with what God would have me do. Amen.
Well done. That's actually a pretty good one.
And I try and get these little bits, you know, from the course, which is part of my post-it sign campaign, because these little phrases, they come to me and they help me a lot.
I like your post-it campaign.
Yeah, I took pictures of them. I think someday when we get a website design, I'll put some up.
Well, post those.
It's a good
post-its.
Yeah, it's helpful for anyone out there. If you're going through a rough time, like I saw somebody posting on the DU group about suicide. And to me, when depression sets in or something's off, my way of combating it is to say, blank you, ego. I am going to go balls out on the course. So I'm just going to read my lessons, you know, every hour if I have to. I will listen to the tape in the car. I will look at my signs. I will do whatever I need to do to just kind of fight it back.
I find my ego runs rampant in the morning. I don't know about you, but, you know, when I'm out of the shower and drying my hair, doing whatever, that's really when it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the time I have to really be like, oh, shut up. But I do let it go for a while until I'm like, whoa, what's happening here?
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate the fact that you're like, okay, I'm just going to combat it head on with the course.
with more than equal force. I'm mm-hmm. going to cram it down its throat with the course.
I use the worst cuss words ever. I cuss out my ego every day. It might not be the best way to go, but we all use our own devices. You use this sweet and lovely prayer from In Search for God. But me, I just cuss it out.
Whatever works.
Whatever works, I know.
We just forgive it. Give it up. Move on.
And move on. It's funny because my ego is so strong and it's been so strong for a very long time and it's gotten me in a lot of trouble. And so when my ego comes out, and it does with a vengeance, I'm getting much better at it. But it can overtake me. I'm not going to, you know, pretend it doesn't. Mm-hmm. I'm not a perfect course student. So when it does happen, you know, there's some time that elapses before I'm able to, like, you know, get it under control.
Remember who we are.
Yeah. It's funny because my thoughts just takes everything in its wake. Very disastrous. And I'm like, okay, hold on here. Because the other part of me, we talked about this before, astrologically, we're both Libras from a sun sign perspective. And Libras are very much about fairness. And I'm always in my analytical mind trying to figure out how to get something across to somebody in the most loving way possible. Even if in my mind, I hate them. So it's kind of like this constant struggle. I've got this monster of an ego going on, but I've got this temperance of trying to figure out how I can get my point across without really angering somebody else or me in the process. There are times when I feel like there is a battle, some war going on inside of me every day.
There are battles, but the ego will fight back very strongly. I've heard them talk on the Gary and Jean podcast about people getting dizzy or nauseous or weird, like, physical ailment.
Just like the ego manifestation.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I don't need that in my hologram.
We can learn all our lessons through a loving way.
In a loving and gentle way. And we had shared off mic that I was having this experience with a romantic relationship and how I came to that realization in such a calm way, where in the past I might have gone through like a hysterical crying fit or whatever. It was just nice to be like, okay, it is what it is. And there's nothing wrong with him and there's nothing wrong with me. Mm-hmm. It's just these are who we are at this moment in time. Mm-hmm. And we have to decide whether it's going to work for us now or not.
And it's okay to say bye-bye.
Correct. And my thing is, when I relay it to others, and I don't relate to very many people, just remember that whatever's being echoed back to me, mm-hmm. I don't need to take in necessarily. Mm-hmm. That there's other stuff that are going on, and everybody sees their reality through their own filter. And it's all right if their perception of my awareness is different. So I guess the Course has given me that huge gift of understanding that no matter what is said to me or I'm saying to someone else, it simply doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things.
And we're creating it all to begin with.
Correct.
Just to forgive it.
Exactly.
And let
it's
it
like
go.
All these exercises over. Just to be like, okay, I forgive you. Let's move on. Mm-hmm. So do you have any closing thoughts, Stephanie, on your week?
No, you just said the word echo, which kind of resonated with me, which I think is, you know, that namaste kind of thing of mm-hmm. the divine in me sees the divine in you, which yeah. it's a circular echoing the song of forgotten song or song of prayer or whatever that is. It just kind of echoes.
Indeed. Which is lovely in a way because we continue on in our experience, in our universe, in our connection to God as a loving echo back and forth. I hope you and I transcend in the Stephanie and Jeannie lifetime and we are able to then become an echo, a loving echo to those who haven't quite woken up yet. That would be the lottery win for me. It would be such a gratifying experience to be able to get there, first of all, and then to help others get there too.
If that is what God's will is, if we can just fold into the oneness and not even have to come back, that's okay too.
Even better. I agree. All right, listeners, thank you so much for hanging in there with us on their 17th edition of the Course of Course podcast. We'll be back with the 18th next week. And during that time, there will be Valentine's Day. So our Valentine out to all of our listeners with our huge international audience. Thank you again.
We're
huge gratitude for that.
Light.
Echoing love and light. Excellent way to put it, Stephanie. Thanks again and have a great day.